And then there came a violent rush of wind. Have you ever watched wind fill up a space? When I was little, we did have to walk uphill to get home from school. I remember being allowed to start doing that somewhere around third, fourth grade. And the school I went to was on sort of the outskirts of town because that's sort of where we lived. So we'd walk up the mountain home, and there were a couple lots that when I was little were still empty, and it is windy where I grew up. And I remember sometimes I would, this was like four blocks from school, and I'd be walking through and I'd feel the wind and I'd stand and I'd open my coat up to see if it would like let me fly. It never did. But there were times when that stop and the turn into the wind would take your breath away. And for a second, you sort of have to remember that you can breathe, and then you're breathing again and it is fine. Or maybe you have watched the wind gather like leaves and sticks and maybe some pet fur in a corner as it gets this little tornado. Or maybe your experiences have been a little tamer. Were any of you in school in the years where we still had like parachute games? Yes. And you'd like all stand around, and if you threw it up high enough and came under, you'd be under this dome. It was so much fun. We don't often think of the wind filling spaces. It blows through spaces, it ruffles hair and upsets clothes, and moves leaf piles around. But the air fills places. The wind can fill a space. That's how it all started. Do you remember that? In the beginning, there was God. And there was a deep, chaos void that was sort of writhing, and over it was the wind. And it is into this moment of confusion and darkness and chaos that God speaks, and everything begins. Light, time, land, animals, humans. I wonder what the disciples were sitting in that room thinking. They had spent a lot of time in that room by now. If you remember, they were there in some room, shut in, the night Jesus was arrested, the night their world fell apart. They were in that room, locked in for fear, we are told, the night Jesus came back and showed them his scars and asked them to not be afraid. They left. They left and they traveled with Jesus and they went places and they told of this great miracle. And then Jesus left them again, was caught up into heaven in cloud and light and mystery. And although they were told to go out and do the things Jesus had done with and for and through them already, here they are, back in that room, all 11 of them that are counted, scared and uncertain. And then a violent wind rushed into the room. You can stand in a wind. It's not going to carry you away. It is certainly not going to propel you down the stairs and out into the middle of the street. But that's where they find themselves. I kind of wish we had gotten the story, like the first-person perspective with the shaky footage of them making that transition. Because I think that's where we most often feel like we are, caught between the stories and the hope we have heard and the hope we have, and the faith we are clinging to, and being out caught up in all of that and actually doing the things we have heard about. But we have the room, and then we have the street. Maybe because there are no words for that space in the middle. Maybe that is why faith is so hard for us some days, as that space in between is just too hard to explain, to put to page, to sing, and we are caught in it. But I love that this story, which we often credit as sort of the beginning of the church, or at least the church as we know it, the church that has lived on and even managed to thrive without the physical, touchable presence of Jesus among us, began with wind and words, the way our whole story as God's people begins. With wind in the middle of chaos and words that speak something too grand for words into being. This time in Jerusalem matches about where the calendar year is, actually, at least the Jewish calendar year. This is a feast, and is one of the feasts where in these days people would have streamed into Jerusalem to make an offering in the temple, to be together with their fellow practitioners of the faith. So this list of people from all around, places that we often don't use the same name for anymore, places that are hard to say, they don't roll off our tongues, would probably have actually been in their streets. People who had heard some of the same stories the disciples would have grown up with, some of the stories I talked about with the kids, would have watched these people early in the morning saying this thing that sounded miraculous and wondered. I kind of wish the lectionary reading from Acts just kept going for a little bit, because Acts 2 begins here, somewhere between faith and fear, between chaos and direction, and it ends with some of my favorite lines. The disciples held everything in common, and they continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. This morning, we continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. There is a line that our faith tells us is there, even though our historians can't directly sketch, between those people in the middle of the street, after their entire world had been thrown into chaos, not once or twice, but repeatedly, in their decision to follow Jesus, and all of the things that led to, as the world around them was full of chaos and stories of war and fears about what would happen in their homes and in their communities. And us, gathered here in this room, in faith and hope, probably more chaos and confusion than we would like there to be. I haven't noticed a violent rush of wind. Not yet. But I also know that sometimes God shows up in the still, quiet moments. I also know that sometimes God shows up in the food and the reminder to take care of ourselves, whether it's a prophet fleeing into the mountains, or Jesus on the shores of the sea, inviting his disciples back. What I am sure of, what I am completely and absolutely sure of, is the violent wind of the Holy Spirit that was there in creation and is here in our stories again, at the beginning of the church, is still willing to push us into the places we aren't sure we belong, is still willing to whisper past our ears and encourage us to do the things God's people have always done, to continue, to persevere, to seek and to serve, to resist all of the things in this world that would turn us from the worship and practice of God. So I send us out. And if you do not have enough confidence in this, borrow some of mine in these next weeks, and probably months and years. Take heart that the church that began in the mess of 1,000 tourists in the middle of a street in a backwater province of a giant empire will get through whatever chaos and confusion the world can offer us today. Remember that the whole world, everything in it, from giant sea creatures to tiny bugs to all of us, are the creatures of God, and that God is not done with any of us. Amen.